In this week's Oxcast Extra, I'm here with Michael Speight, director of Titus Andronicus. Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Not bad at all.
Good. Right, can you tell me about Siege Theatre as a company, please?
I can. It's newly formed. We created it kind of this year out of a few years of working with various different people, trying to bring a few people together. We thought we'd set up the company because we're doing the largest production we've ever done before. We've done a few little shows, or a few, five or six shows around Oxford. And I suppose it's a way of getting out to the audience with a name that symbolised something for us. So obviously we're performing at the Castle. We're doing a show that's quite, well...
Brutal?
Brutal, yeah. So Siege was kind of a powerful name for it. Thanks for the brutal, yeah. And yeah, it was... In essence, it summed up what we were trying to achieve and brought everyone together under a single banner that we could sort of promote with. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it sounds like it nicely sums it up.
Yeah.
What made you choose to perform Titus Andronicus as your first big hit?
I know, people keep asking. it's obviously, there's a whole plethora of Shakespeare plays that could be chosen, and there's some more commercial and some less commercial. There's some probably perceived as being more dynamic and less dynamic, and I think... Having gone through what's been performed in the last few years, what looked like it was going to perform this year, a lot of the big ones were gone. So, yeah, Othello's, your Hamlet's,
yeah.
Romeo and Juliet's. So rather than kind of find a middling one, we thought we'd go a little bit more extreme. We'd pull from out of nowhere one that, although people probably sort of know about it, have heard about it, very few have seen it.
Yeah.
The Globe have done a recent production, the RSC have done one as well. But over the years, it's... got either a bad press or it's just kind of, it's never been seen as a staple and one that draws the audience in. Our viewpoint was that with that in mind, aren't people going to want to come and see it? Aren't people going to want to go, oh, Titus, yeah, I might have, I've heard about that, or maybe I've read some passages from it, things like that. Maybe it's time I actually went and saw the production.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming to see it myself. I'm a bit apprehensive. I read the reviews of the Globe production in 2014. Are you worried people are going to faint?
I'm hoping someone will. I'm hoping at least one person faints.
Is that a mark of a good production or Titus?
I'm taking that as the gauge of how good you are. I think we know that there's a fine line between how the gore is perceived, and there are some elements that are quite extreme.
Yeah.
And there's potential that you could go full on and scare the audience out of their wits, and you will have fainting people.
Yeah.
And then there's the other side, I suppose you end up being too comical. People see a hand cut off, people see a tongue cut out, and it becomes a more of a farce than it is a kind of a tragedy. And I think we're weaving that line. We're making every effort to try and show it in its realist form, but not scare people so they just don't want to watch, but also trying not to make it too comical, because the last thing I want is people laughing when there's not meant to be laughter, and kind of losing the flow of the whole piece by being distracted by people going, ah, another hand's cut off, how funny is that?
yeah, no, that's fair enough.
Yeah, and I think it's a strange one, because it's probably a cliche thing to say, but if you take modern society and you take the current kind of viewing habits of most people, if you took a weekly sort of scan of what they watch, most of it has got some sort of crazy killing.
Well, you've got to think just Game of Thrones, to be honest, haven't you?
There you are, exactly. And so I think the audience is, I wouldn't say the audience is ready for it, but I think there is obviously a difference between watching it on TV and watching it in real life. And I think it's just hopefully we pitch it right. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. And like I say, one person fainting, hey.
Could you just give me a brief summary of the play? Don't give away too much.
I think of all the plays, the brief summary of this one is pretty tricky to give. In essence, it's a family drama, and that sort of sits at its core. It's about a returning warrior in the form of Titus Andronicus, who is head of the Roman army. Mm-hmm. He is coming back to Rome, in essence, to retire. And as he returns to Rome, the Senate and the tribunes of Rome want to give him the emperor's crown and make him the leader of the empire.
Yeah.
He refuses that. And passes it on to the eldest son of the dead emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically opens up the door for this crazy, maniacal young boy to come in and start making sweeping changes. And also, he chooses the Queen of the Goths as his wife, and Titus has just killed her son. And so she's got a crazy thing in her mind that she wants to take revenge on the Andronicus family, and all hell ensues.
Lovely.
Yes. So, yeah, but again, and... That is a very brief summary of what goes on. I think, like I say, the idea is that there's this, at the core, there's this family dynamic where the Andronicus family are fighting to see whether words are more powerful than the sword, and how the changing of the guard in terms of Titus coming back and retiring is the wrong word, but not fighting every battle with his sword and trying to be more diplomatic, whereas his eldest son is still desperate to sort of wage war and actually try and fight his way through all the trouble. So there's a lot of shifting sort of... It's an onion. Just loads of layers of stuff going on.
It's an onion.
Yeah, there that's, that, yeah, that's I should have said that right at the start. Why don't I say that? It's just an onion.
Excellent. So what's your interpretation as director? What did you want to get across to the audience most?
There are kind of a couple of aspects that I tried to keep central to what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be played out in its most classical sense. I wanted it to be set in Rome. I wanted it not to have ribbons coming out of arms and mouths. I wanted it to have blood, but again, like we said before, not too much crazy sort of splattering of blood everywhere. I wanted the audience to be able to relate to various things in modern times. So although we weren't playing it with army camo gear and parascending from a helicopter and with guns and stuff, there should be direct links to what's going on in the world now and how these decisions that they're making in the play are being made in real life and affect our lives. So definitely drawing on those things. But also, we wanted to deliver Shakespeare. We want people to see a Shakespeare play in an amazing sort of context, in the amazing surroundings of the castle. And, you know, Titus is quite good for that. It does give you an opportunity to play on your setting and also be dramatic. So
I was going to ask, what are the challenges you faced about putting a production on in a castle?
Yeah, the team down there are amazing. So they're helping as much as they possibly can to make the 8 weeks of the whole Shakespeare Festival work and flow effectively. It's also operating day to day as a tourist attraction, and there's a visitor attraction in the space. So you have to work around the parameters of their opening and closing hours. In terms of coming in and setting up, the sets don't need to be too extravagant because your backdrop is the castle and prison walls, so you're quite lucky in the respect that you can bring in less than you probably would into a black box theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So that allows some ease of setting up and getting ready. I think the biggest dilemma and what probably all the shows down there face is it's such a cavernous space, it's so big.
Yeah.
And you're bringing, even if you bring 20 actors, but I think we've got 15 in our cast now, to fill that space and to keep the audience focused in on what's going on is a real tricky dilemma, and that's one we're facing at the moment, in that, you know, you can put one person on stage and actually that's pretty okay because people focus on that one person. As soon as you put four or five people, you're like, everyone's looking all over the place, and then the eye is drawn into all these different areas and they suddenly see the castle and they suddenly see this, and there's just so much going on.
Difficult
so.
To keep focus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's probably the biggest challenge, I think.
Okay. So is that outdoors?
Outdoors.
What happens if it rains?
People get wet.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
I think the standard British approach to outdoor theatre is carry on as long as you possibly can. Now, some of the productions do have decided to, there's a small venue in the centre of Oxford that they've booked that means they can bring their performance inside if it does rain. It's pretty tricky for us given all the things that we've got going on, fight scenes and things. So we've decided we'll happily, if it pours down with rain, we'll happily push people into other shows and make sure they get a chance to see it.
Okay, good.
But what we want to do is, I mean, a bit of rain, a bit of lightning, a bit of thunder.
It's quite atmospheric.
Exactly, it adds to the whole feeling. Yeah, so we'll. I mean, I'm watching the weather every single day. I wake up and check the weather. but fingers crossed, it the majority of the performances will go ahead. And a little bit of rain.
Yeah, we're British.
Exactly.
Deal with it.
Bring a blanket, everyone.
Okay, cool. That's good advice. So you've talked a bit about the setting. Can you tell me a bit about the costumes? They look fantastic from the Facebook page.
Thank you. Yeah, we... Again, another lucky little thing for us. I've been the last 3 months trying desperately to find Roman costume at a reasonable price, I have to say. But I met up with a lady who did a BBC drama of Hannibal, which of the Carthaginians versus the Romans, and she had literally three or four suitcases full of Roman outfits.
Wow.
Yeah, so I went down to see her and pleaded my case of the lowly theatre producer who needed some costume, and we worked out a deal and we got hold of quite a lot of the stuff from that production. So obviously it's hopefully it's good quality, hopefully it's consistent as well, because it's from a previous production, so all the pieces work together.
That's
and
good.
Then, and then just grabbing bits and bobs, you know, a lot of charity shop trolling.
Yeah.
So we've also got an amazing lady who's helping us, named Ruth, and she's doing a lot of the additional costume, and she's just phenomenal. So she's creating some amazing pieces for us that add to what we've got already, so that's great.
Brilliant. Out of the production, well, out of all the characters that are in Titus, who's your favourite?
Oh, don't make me say
that. And who's your least favourite? I'm not talking about the actors, I'm talking about the characters themselves.
They'll be upset if I choose them. I think...
Or what aspect do you maybe admire the most out of one of the characters?
Thanks for changing the thanks. Yeah.
Sorry.
the great thing about the production is that we're trying not to have goodies and baddies. Mm-hmm. So although when people come and watch, hopefully come and watch, they'll be making their own distinctions on who is good, who is bad, and why they are good or bad. Mm-hmm. Our intention is to portray everyone in a way that says you can make a decision whether they're good or bad. So even the Queen of the Goths, who takes it upon herself to revenge the death of her eldest son, may be perceived as being an evil character. But actually, if you think about what she's been through, she's just lost a big battle. She's been dragged through the streets of Rome as a slave. She's been handed over to the new emperor and said, do what you like with her. And then her eldest son is dragged out and has his head cut off. And it's kind of like... That's off stage, by the way. You can see why she's upset. You can see why she might want to make the worst for Titus. And therefore, there are some strong family good elements to her that hopefully people will attach themselves to. So I think across the board, all the characters have their good and their bad traits. And that's kind of what the play is trying to highlight and trying to show off, is that you would react in a certain way if certain things happen to you.
Yeah.
Whether that's judged to be inappropriate or wrong is down to the audience to make that decision. But again, I didn't answer your question at all there. But I think I like all the characters, and they have little bits of comic nature to them, and or dramatic nature to them. So I think each one is quite nuanced and quite good.
So like sort of light and dark in both.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's next for Siege Theatre?
Very good question. We're hoping to do a Christmas show. So we hope once we get this one out of the way, and it depends how much we get wiped out by doing it, but we're looking again, fingers crossed, if we can get a location in the castle to do Christmas Carol, maybe.
Oh,
I know.
Excellent.
And have that, it will be inside, but have it again in the confines of the castle, so when you come down it's kind of setting the mood already. But a lot more family orientated. I say that a lot more family orientated for those listening out there, so the opportunity to bring your kids down and actually make it a kind of a Christmas.
I was gonna say, is there a an age restriction on Titus?
We haven't explicitly, but I think on the website we've put 12 and above, but I think
good.
So I think we're people are sensible. People can make their own decisions, and again, the intention is not about scaring people. It's not about, it's really not about making them faint and making them scream and squeam. So I think parents will be able to make their own decisions on what their kids will be able to sort of...
Tolerate,
exactly.
Yeah. So. Okay, so you're performing on the 20th of July?
The 20th of July for 2 weeks. So we start on Monday. The performances, begin at 7:30.
Okay.
So be down there a little bit earlier. There are tickets available on the door. Book them online, just to make sure it's not allocated seating, so you can come in. There might be a bit of standing, just because we have a bit of the play where we might have you stand up. So be aware of that. Not that you put anyone off, because it won't be for the whole play. So you will get a seat. So don't worry.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much, Michael.
No problem at all.